Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, Emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. Today, I am coming to you from the Command Center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I am in an undisclosed location because I'm written into the vault of where I have stacks and stacks of the resources that I have, especially for you. They are selected. So today, I'm going to reach as right now into the vault. Okay, I've got it. Yeah, let me put that down here. All right, we've got it. We've got it. And today we have a very special, special episode that really, as I've reached into the vault, I am handling this one in a special way because it is an interview that I did with a very special guest. His name is Cliff Ravenscraft. And you're going to hear him. It's a lengthy episode, which I wanted to let you know up front, but it is filled with just nuggets and insights and what you truly need to be a strategic leader in the 21st century. And so I will not take much of the time because I want him to get into right away what I believe is the one most important trait of strategic leadership that you need to know and adjust or adapt in your own leadership world. And my friend, you're going to hear some things today that will rock your world. I believe it is going to actually rock your world. And so would you then, without further ado, put your hands together and let us welcome to the show our guest, Mr. Cliff Ravenscraft. My guest today on the Kingsley Grant Show is Cliff Ravenscraft. Cliff is a business mentor. He coaches and he's a motivational speaker. Cliff mentors coaches, consultants, and thought leaders through the transition from their unfulfilling day job into their own responsible and profitable online business so that they can live the life of their dreams and do the work they feel most called to do in the world. That is what we're about to dive into today. Cliff, how are you? It's exciting to have you on the show today, sir.
Kingsley, I am doing amazing. Matter of fact, I like to say that I've never been better, and it gets better every single moment of the day. And yes, now is the time to live the life of your dreams and do the work you are most called to do in this world that you were created for. And love sharing this message, my friend, and thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And before I even get started, I want to say thank you for all the good and all the things you have done and the lives you have influenced and impacted, including my own. And we are able to just continue to spread that. So, Cliff, the first question I ask all my guests is this question. When you hear the word leader and or the word leadership, what comes to your mind?
Sure. When I hear the word leader, it means that somebody has gone before me. You know, so when I think about following a leader, I think of somebody who has traveled further down the path. They're further along the journey that I want to go down. So I think of them as, I guess, in a way, as a role model, if you will. Mm-hmm. I look for people who have already achieved significant success doing in life what I feel called or compelled to go do. So I'm looking for somebody who has already made a ton of mistakes of their own. I'm looking for people who are failures. I'm serious. I am looking for failures. I'm looking for people who are not afraid to fail consistently. Now, I'm not looking for a leader who consistently fails at the same thing over and over again, making the same mistake. No, I'm looking at a leader who's always looking to pave a new path for themselves, who are not afraid to fail, learn from it, course correct, do it over and over again, but always learning from everything, applying everything they've learned. And so that eventually – not that they're ever perfect, not that they never fail, but man, it seems like, man, they've gone so far down this journey ahead of me, this path ahead of me. Man, they've paid a clear path. And you know what? I consider that person to be a leader, and I'll certainly walk on the paved path that they put in front of me. Now, that's who I look for as a leader. And as a leader, I hope to be that guy. I hope to be the failure that people are looking for.
It takes considerable, I would think, a sense of humility or vulnerability, because to put yourself in that position you described just now, Cliff, I mean, it must really take a sense of, like, you know, I would say, I go back to the word humility, because not everybody wants to, you know, look at somebody who have had that zigzag kind of life experience and want to put themselves in that person's hands. So what does it take for a person then, in your mind, to basically go after that kind of a leader? What does it take?
What does it take for somebody to go after that kind of leader? Well, a belief that really those are the only leaders that exist. I guess if we look at directly that specific question, what does it take for somebody to choose a leader?
Yes.
That consistently fails. Well, I'll tell you what, you will not find somebody worth following. You will not find a leader worth following that hasn't been willing to take risks where they could fail hard. And if you're choosing a leader that seemingly never makes mistakes, it seems like they've got all the right answers and stuff like that, chances are you're following a leader that's playing it safe in life. And I don't know, maybe you want to play it safe in life, and if that's the case, then you can follow leaders that play it safe in life, and you could probably never really live up to what you were fully potential of doing in life. You'll never fully live out the life for which you were created. And so if you want it, what would it take for somebody? You'd have to be willing to follow a leader that makes mistakes and isn't afraid to admit that they've made mistakes, that they're not afraid to tell you the stories about why they made the decisions that led to massive failure that is humiliating, that's embarrassing. But the thing is you want leaders who are willing to take those kind of risks, and you want to be able to have that kind of leader as a role model for how did they handle the defeat temporarily that set them back. You know, where they said publicly they were going to do this, and they took some actions and they failed. But yet, how did they handle it? See, the thing is there's nobody's perfect out
right.
there. All right. There's not a single perfect person out there. There's nobody who always gets exactly what they want the first time they try to do it. That there's never been a person like that. Right. So what you want is somebody who's going to be willing to pave the path ahead of you and hopefully make lots of mistakes, because the more mistakes they make, the easier they can make it for you by sharing their stories. And you want a leader who is vulnerable and transparent and willing to tell you about the mistakes. In fact, it's even better if you can find a leader who's willing to make the mistakes right in front of you.
You know,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, I think I wanted to make sure I piggyback off something that's very, very crucial you just mentioned just now. Because I look at one of the things I wrote in my book about leadership is mentorship. You just mentioned something that the person wants to be there with you. And I would call that a mentorship kind of approach. Would that be something that you're describing?
Well, I consider a mentor to be a leader, obviously. So, yeah, I don't see much of a distinction there.
Okay.
Mentor, I guess we could go into the semantics, the difference between what is a leader versus a mentor versus a coach or whatever. In my own way of thinking, I guess I feel like I fit a little bit of all three of those roles mm-hmm. pretty seamlessly, and I don't see a lot of distinction between them. At least I haven't found a need for myself to make a big distinction between a leader, a coach, and a mentor.
Right. You know, and I think you're right on that. And one of the, you know, the chapter that I wrote about how leaders who are mentors, I talk about four things that they do. They say, hey, watch me. And then the next thing they say, hey, let me do it with you. And the next thing they say is, let me watch you do it. And the next thing they say is, you now go ahead and find somebody else to do that very same thing with. So when you were describing that, I was, in my mind, I'm thinking about the person who is vulnerable and willing to take that risk with you and help you do the very same thing that they're doing.
Yeah. So I thank you for that. So you're giving me the distinction between what's in your mind about a mentor and just a leader in general. Because with that, I clearly understand there are certain people who are leaders who are not mentors.
Yeah, right.
And that's not to lessen how valuable those people are. There's some people who it's just not their calling to be a mentor.
Right.
It's just that it's very clear my true identity, who I was created to be on this earth, I was created to be a mentor who happens to also be a leader.
Mm.
So I love that. Thank you. I learned from you today, Kingsley. Thank you for the distinction.
No.
Something extremely valuable.
I think you put it in my hand. You just gave me a great, you know, you kind of actually placed it there in my hand. So thank you for placing that in my hand. So one of the contentions I also have, Cliff, is leaders who are willing to be a steward. And I talk about a steward mentality in that they are, and what separates them from the average leader is that they are willing to steward their people. And so I look about the nurturing, the caring. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I certainly believe in the concept of stewardship. I think for me personally, I feel responsible to be a good steward. I'm a man of faith, obviously. You know that, but your audience may not know. But one of the reasons why I do everything that I do today is because when I was 18 years old, I felt called to a life of full-time ministry. And today, I thought for many, many years of my life that I was going to be a pastor one day. And while I do not fit the definition of a traditional pastor in a Christian ministry, and in fact, I'm quite very far away from all of that. But what I will tell you is I definitely feel myself completely devoted to full-time ministry, doing the extremely profitable work in a for-profit business that is meant to change the lives of hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of people around the world. And I feel a calling in my life to fulfill what God's called me to do, which is to be a good steward of all the resources that I have. And by the way, being a good steward of all the resources is not just financially. Being a good steward of all the resources are – man, the lives, the human souls that I have the opportunity to communicate with through the podcast content that I create, through the YouTube videos that I produce, through the live streams on any platform that I live stream, through the people that I speak to at conferences that I host and speak at for other people, through the mastermind groups that I facilitate, through the one-on-one human beings that I get to mentor personally, I feel a compulsion to always be a good steward of each and every one of those resources. And when I say resources, like, gosh, this kind of resource clip is something that is to be used to do something in the world. Yes, I really do believe. I believe that a single listener to my podcast audience is a resource for God to do something powerful that they were created to do in this world. And they are a resource. And I happen to have the honor and the privilege and the blessing that God has chosen to work it out so that those people are listening to my voice.
Mm.
And I must be a good steward of that opportunity.
You know, I appreciate you taking us down that path because, Cliff, you just really kind of framed that in a way where I think someone, you know, who's listening can relate to, because you really kind of took that word, even the resource and the responsibility, combine that together, make it such a very powerful way of saying what leaders really are supposed to do is be responsible of the resources, but also the people who they're leading as a resource, and not just see them as something to be used and then somehow gotten rid of. So, which leads me to my other question here, as you were talking there, Cliff. I find that the concept of leaders being able to realize that their influence, their impact they have on people, and but also how they communicate to their people and to those they're leading in a very effective manner. So I talk about the idea in my my book of the Emotelligent Leader is that leaders ought to be able to sell an idea or communicate ideas and visions and missions to their people as best as possible. So I call leaders ought to be good salesmen, a salesman, you know, or a salesperson then. So what would your thought about leaders being a salesperson?
I think that every person on this planet, whether they believe that they're a leader or not, is called to be a salesperson. Mm-hmm. Everyone. I literally mean every stay-at-home mom is a salesperson. Mm-hmm. Trying to convince your 7-year-old child to go to bed and get some sleep and some rest. Trying to get your children to do their homework. All of that is sales. Mm. You are selling. By the way, I think it's important when we talk about salespeople and sales in general, I think it's important to have a clear understanding and definition of what sales is. And I'm just going to share mine. Pretty Actually, true. I have two different definitions of sales. My favorite definition of sales is that I am trying to convince someone to do something that's going to add value to their life. That's what sales is to me. Sales means I could even use the word persuade. Convince or persuade, either one works for me. But if I'm going to sell you something or sell you on something, I'm going to convince or persuade you to take an action or to do something that is going to add value to your life. That's for me what sales is. By the way, a second definition of sales that I really love, it's nothing more than shared enthusiasm, brother.
I like that framing because what it does, it takes away the stigma some people have around sales and see it as that, you know, of course, that slick used car salesperson, and they get afraid of that. But I really think you're onto something there, Cliff, because I think leaders and anybody really needs to see themselves as trying to get across an idea, whatever it is, to get a person to take action for their own benefit. And so I see that as such. Now, I find some leaders struggle, Cliff, because they're unable to really find their groove. And part of that is because of the lack of, you know, seeing leadership as a craft and being able to develop that. How would you speak to that idea of a leader, and what would they need to do or suggest they would do to develop themselves more so in that leadership role they find themselves in?
Okay, so Kingsley, I have to be very transparent and authentic with you and tell you that I don't understand exactly what it is that you're looking for me to answer. So I'm going to ask you this. When you say that a leader is struggling, can you give me an example of how they're struggling with this? And sure. Then maybe I can speak to that.
Thank you for that response, because I think that they struggle in the sense of like not feeling skilled or feeling competent enough, feeling adequate enough, feeling as if they're able to do the role as best as they've been asked to do. So it's almost like feels intimidating for them.
Okay, got it. So it's feeling, and this, by the way, there's every single person hearing our voice, Kingsley, I hope you don't mind me saying this, you,
yes,
and myself,
yes.
We all have this fear. Mm. We all feel unqualified, unworthy, we have this fear that we'll be rejected. We all have this fear that if we step out beyond what we've already achieved and take on a new role or responsibility as a leader, there's always that next level that we may feel called to. But man, I just don't – there's so many other people who are more qualified. I just don't know that I have what it takes. Every single one of us has that. Thank and you. The reality is, guess what? Yeah. The thing is that's just fear, and it actually has everything to do with what we believe. Mm-hmm. The reality is quite frankly, there may be more people out there who are more skilled than we are, who have more experience than we have. That doesn't mean squat.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. Mm. The question is anybody else asked to do the leadership responsibility that you've just been asked to do? If not, then you're the leader. And guess what? You have all of the resources you need to do anything you've ever been called to do. You're way more powerful than you'll ever possibly imagine. And it's never a lack of resources. You don't feel skilled enough? There's places to go to learn how to do what it is you need to do. You are never at a lack of resources. The only thing you may have is a limiting belief that keeps you from being as resourceful as you need to be to be able to accomplish the task you've been asked to accomplish.
You touched on a very, very important part, I find, Cliff, is that limited belief. Because I know that for me, I struggle at times with certain things that I want to do to the next level. And my beliefs sometimes kind of get in the way. So that person who's listening and would say, man, Cliff, you just put your finger on something that I really struggle with. Where would that person start to at least begin to explore how to change or address that limited belief he or she is having?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think one would start with what is a belief? And you'd be it's like, okay, Cliff, come on. Seriously, can we fast forward just a couple steps ahead? Let me tell you, Kingsley, I was 44 years old before I heard the definition of what a belief is that radically transformed my life. Mm. And so I'm going to share that definition
Please
with you guys today.
Do.
The definition that transformed my life is that a belief is nothing more than a thought that you feel certain is true. Mm. You see, I used to believe that a belief is something that was true. So if I believed I'm not worthy, then I'm not worthy. Mm. You know, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, a belief and a fact are that in my mind somewhere I got I had the belief that a fact and a belief was the same thing. The reality is that a belief is nothing more than a thought. Like, you know, it's like, hey, Cliff Ravenscraft is purple, you know, my skin is purple, or my skin is yellow, or my skin is brown, or whatever. My skin is none of those things. That's a thought. I can think all kinds of things. But a belief is a thought that you feel certain is true. And by the way, you can actually have a thought that's not true, repeat it enough, called conditioning, get a little bit of reinforcement from somebody else, and all of a sudden now you feel certain it's true. Here's the problem. Is every belief that we have, whether we're consciously aware of the belief or not, every belief we have has consequences. If you walk away from this conversation that Kingsley and I are having without anything else, just remember this. Every belief you have has consequences. Mm. Because here's what I will tell you. Every action you take in life has caused you to have a reaction. So all the results, your results today financially are the result of the actions and decisions you've made in the past. Where you are physically in your body, if you're 100 pounds overweight and got type 2 diabetes and it could have been reversed and could still maybe be reversed, but you haven't been able to get yourself to do the things necessary to reverse it. You know you should eat more or eat less, move more, you should eat more healthy. You know all that stuff, and you tried a couple different times. The reality is you keep falling into the same actions. The same actions of eating bags of chips at night, spending more money on your credit cards when you know you need to stop spending more than you make. All of those things that you do, all those actions are going to continue to get you the same results. Mm-hmm. And you will never be able to get new results unless you take different actions in life. And here's the thing. You can take different actions in life for a temporary period of time just through willpower. But you'll never be able to take new actions in your life and apply them consistently and create an entirely new lifestyle where, let's say, you decide to work out 6 days a week every week for the rest of your life and stay consistent. You'll never be able to do something like that, Kingsley, unless you change what you believe about working out. Change what you believe about eating healthy. Change what you believe about living debt-free. Change what you believe about carrying debt on credit cards, spending more than you owe. Change what you believe about saying those really nasty remarks to your wife when she didn't live up to your expectations. You got to change what you believe to be able to change the actions. If you want to change what results you have to have in life, you have to change your actions long term, consistently, maintaining new behaviors, and you'll never do that unless you understand the power and the consequences of every belief you have.
Man, that's powerful, Cliff. That's really deep. I appreciate you taking the time to really expand on that, because I think it we needed to hear that the way you shared it, and the examples you brought in was so powerful, because one of the things I hold on to, like, your belief shapes your behavior, and therefore every behavior we have is really coming from a belief system. And so what I find sometimes, though, people struggle, leaders especially, but I find it's true across the board, is that they, you mentioned about the willpower, they find it's hard because they've tried. So what would you say to that person about then using outside help, whether it's, you know, attending a workshop, a conference, or getting a coach, what's your thoughts about going, teaming up and partnering with something or someone else to accomplish those goals?
I think it's a pretty smart thing to do. I think everyone needs a coach. I think everybody needs to partner, and, you know, trying to figure this stuff out on our own. How has it worked out for you so far? If you've tried it, let me ask you, how has it worked out for you so far? The reality is that it's hard to read the instructions on the bottle that tell us how to get our what we want out of life. The instructions are on the bottle, tells us how to do what we want out of life. But if you're inside the bottle, it's hard to read the instructions. So what you need is somebody who's on the outside of the bottle who can read the instructions and tell you what works and what doesn't work. And so we all need that. But I want to, if you don't mind, Kingsley, you said something amazing just a moment ago. You know, these people have tried, and it's hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. What if I told you it's easy? What if I told you that you don't – I mean, what if I told you you didn't need a coach? Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe in having coaches.
Right.
What if I told you you didn't need a coach? All you need was a simple shift in the way that you understand how your mind works and how beliefs work, and that you could literally take any action, like, for example, going to the gym. The reason why I keep going to this going to the gym thing, Kingsley, you know that I used to weigh 300 pounds. When you and I first met, I weighed nearly 300 pounds.
Yes, you're right.
Today, I weigh 193 pounds.
Congratulations.
All right. I've lost over 100 pounds of fat. I put on more than 26 pounds of muscle since November 2014. I made a commitment on November 14th, 2014. I'm going to work out 6 days a week, every week, for the rest of my life. All right? The thing is when I made that decision, it happened in an instant. And do you want to know how challenging it's been? You know, the daily grind that it's been for me to actually live up to that? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't tell you, because it hasn't been.
Wow.
It hasn't. Now, prior to that, I struggled with my weight. I went up and down. In January 2009, I ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks, almost died. I weighed almost 300 pounds then. Over the course of a year and a half, I made some significant changes, and I lost 60 pounds. I gained it all back and all this. I yo-yoed just like everybody else. And by the way, all that year and a half, it was a day. I would have described it, man, this is hard, but it's worth it. I'm forcing myself to do it. Willpower, willpower, willpower. I'm forcing myself to do it. Man, this is hard. This is a daily grind. But boy, it's going to be worth it. You know, and that was the thing. And that was my belief. And I had so many beliefs about going to the gym or working out consistently. And I had beliefs that it's a daily grind. I had beliefs like the last 10 pounds are the hardest to lose. I had all kinds of beliefs that made it difficult for me. But Kingsley, by the time I discovered that all beliefs had consequences, and a belief is nothing more than a thought that you feel certain is true, and that if you could change a belief, if you could eliminate a limiting belief in an instant, you could change your behavior in an instant. And not only that, but you could take a class 2 behavior and turn it into a class 1 behavior. but I just used some language that probably people haven't heard before.
I know.
So let me explain to you.
Please.
Let me explain to you the difference between a class 2 behavior and a class 1 behavior. By the way, a class 1 behavior has four elements. You enjoy doing it. Let's also say it feels good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It feels good. It's good for you. It's good for others, and it serves the greater good. So a class 1 behavior, it feels good. It's good for you. It's good for others. And it serves the greater good. That's a class 1 behavior. A class 2 behavior, by the way, is almost identical, except for the first thing. It doesn't feel good.
Mm.
It's a struggle. See, class 2 behavior is good for you, it's good for others, and it serves the greater good. But it's a struggle. It's a grind. It's hard. It's difficult. It's painful. You hate it. So the only difference, both class 1 and class 2 behaviors are good for you, good for others, and serves the greater good. The cool thing is any behavior that is currently a class 2, in an instant, could be transferred to something that you love to do. And all you have to do is eliminate the limiting beliefs that are causing you to make that behavior that you so desperately want to have in your life, that consistent going to the gym, quit eating the sugary snacks, whatever, quit smoking, quit whatever,
right,
whatever behavior you want to change, you got to change the beliefs. And if you can get the beliefs out of the way, the limiting beliefs that are holding you back from creating that change, you'll be able to take a class 2 behavior and turn it into a class 1. A class 2 behavior is always going to take a ton of willpower for you to consistently be able to do it. And eventually, Kingsley, we all know willpower runs out.
At some point,
but we don't need will. We do not need willpower for class 1 behaviors. I need since November 2014, I've not needed a single ounce of willpower to get to get to the gym or to go out for a 100-mile bike ride, 110-mile bike ride sometimes. It requires zero willpower because it's never, since November 14th, 2014, I changed my beliefs, and not once has it ever been a daily grind. Not once has it ever been difficult. Not once has it ever been hard because I chose to change my beliefs about working out.
You know, I tell you, Cliff, as I listen to that, I'm thinking, man, you know, I need to work on some of my own limiting beliefs. And from a class 2 to a class 1, that one tweak makes a huge difference. What I find sometimes that leaders, as you're describing, I'm thinking, okay, how does a leader find him or herself in a situation where their belief system about the people they're leading, that they're, you know, there's not, you know, raising to the occasion, they're lazy, they're just not doing the work, and, you know, find everything else, but how does that person then translate and take all of that which you describe to somehow create a different environment where they could actually increase productivity and revenue and just the environment that would produce a more wholesome, healthier kind of atmosphere?
There are three different techniques that I could teach to completely radically change that situation. Unfortunately, we don't have time for all three of them, but I will share with you one of the techniques.
You
need to understand and appreciate the world of the people you serve.
Mm.
I'm going to say that again. You need to understand and appreciate the world of the people you serve. You see, the thing is you say they're not rising to the occasion, they're not living up to the standard that you've set and all this other stuff, and quite frankly, you find yourself easily frustrated and all these other things, and you've got all this thing and you expect these people. The reality is that these people will never change until you understand and appreciate their world. So you think that you may make global judges. That person's just lazy. That person just shows up late all the time. Blah, 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 blah. Why not take some time to understand why those people are doing the things they are doing? You know, you can get upset about the fact that, let's just say, Nancy shows up 20 minutes late every single day. You may, you know, have you ever thought to ask what's going on in Nancy's life? Would you take the time to understand and appreciate the fact that maybe you didn't know that Nancy cares for her husband who has been ill and in bed bedridden for the last 17 years of their marriage, and that there are certain circumstances that have caused her to experience things that you would never even imagine how she still shows up at all. I mean, and it's not like you're going to lower the standard and say, hey, Nancy, I understand your world and I appreciate it, and it's okay, you come in whenever you want. That's not what I'm saying. But the thing is, until you take the time to learn what Nancy's life is like outside of what your day-to-day obligations that you give her are, you're really not going to influence her to see things from a different perspective. Maybe if you could get to know Nancy and understand what's going on in the world, and you can actually literally appreciate her world and say, Nancy, wow, you know what? I had no idea that this has been going on for the last 17 years. You inspire me. The fact that you actually come here and perform, I mean, when you're – sure, you know, it's kind of been frustrating a little. I mean, if I'm just honest, it's been frustrating for me as a leader, as your manager, that you show up 20 minutes late consistently. But, man, now that I hear this and I understand, it's like that when you do show up, you're here. I mean, one of the reasons why it frustrates me is because I know you're capable of so much because you demonstrate so much. And I just want you to know, I appreciate what you bring to the table when you're here. And, man, is there anything that I can do to help you so that we can get on the same page? I mean, is there some kind of – let's brainstorm together. Is it, you know, do we need to adjust your schedule? Is that a potential? So do I need to change the expectations and my blueprint of what I believe you ought to be able to achieve? Or is there some way that maybe we can find some resources together to make sure that you're able to participate in the level here? What? Take time to understand and appreciate the world. Do you know Ken Davis, right?
Yes.
All right. So Ken Davis, by the way, he's a professional Christian comedian. Incredibly influential communicator and just an amazing human being all around. Just do a Google search, Ken Davis comedian on Google or YouTube. Be prepared to laugh.
Yes.
And be prepared to be inspired. He is an amazing human being. He did the closing keynote address last year for my Free the Dream conference. And in his closing keynote, he's told the story that I've heard Ken tell so many times. When Ken was a little kid, he was rambunctious. He struggled with his own worthiness, and quite frankly, kids beat him up all the time. He was bullied, all right? Literally beat him up. And so one of the things that he learned is that if he could make his classmates laugh, they would stop hitting him. So he became a jokester. He became the class clown. And one day he was in this literature class or something like that, or it was some kind of class. And anyway, the teacher was had them recite some Shakespeare or something of that nature. And he decided to blurt out loud a different interpretation. He goes, wouldn't it have been more effective if he would have said this? And he used a little profanity, made the entire class roar with laughter. All right. I mean, he was just elevated to the coolest kid in the classroom with a single statement. His teacher said, Ken Davis, come here right now. And then that day she says, you're staying after school today. I'm calling your mom and dad. They're going to come pick you up. And he tells the story. He says, man, that's the day that this is back in the day when parents came to the school. They actually came with like a branch broken off of a tree rather than a lawyer. You know, today the parents come with lawyers to sue the teacher for whatever they did wrong. No, back in these days, yep. I knew I was in trouble. And before the parents, at the end of the day, before the parents got there, the teacher sat down and understood and appreciated the world of Ken Davis. This is what that teacher said. Ken, I want you to imagine this young little boy. Ken, you, my friend, have an incredible gift. She said, you have the gift of capturing the hearts and the attention of every single person in a crowd. No matter where you go, you can instantly become the focus of attention, and people will hang on every word you say, and in a heartbeat, you could make them laugh. And you are using this gift to destroy my classroom, and it's unacceptable. But I want you to know you have an opportunity, and I want to encourage you to use that gift for good. You can have a powerful, profound impact in the world if you will use that same gift that you're using to destroy my classroom in a different way. And I want to encourage you and inspire you to go out for the speech and debate team. And when your parents get here, I'm going to tell them how incredibly gifted you are. And we're going to encourage them to support you with this. And of course, the parents came, and the parents didn't hear about how much trouble he caused. She was very honest and said, listen, he's been tempted to use this to disrupt my classroom, but here's what I want to tell you. Your son has an incredible gift, and I've wanted you to come here today to know this. And he's agreed he'd like to join the speech and debate team, but it would require your support because he'd have to stay after school. Would you, as the parents of this young man who's so incredibly gifted, would you support him in going out into the speech and debate team? And his parents said yes.
Wow.
And because of that teacher because of that leader who understood and appreciated the world of Ken Davis, that young child, that impressionable person, which we're all impressionable. We're not beyond the
– of course.
We're never beyond the age of being impressionably influenced by a leader. Understand and appreciate the world. Because of that, Ken Davis created a lifelong career as a Christian comedian who has spoken in front of tens of thousands of people. Go to Netflix and look up the name Ken Davis or the phrase Fully Alive. He's got a Netflix special that will transform your life. Read his book, Fully Alive. Hear about his career. The guy is financially wealthy today because of a leader who understood and appreciated his world. That is what I would say to a leader who is frustrated by the people that they lead.
Wow, Cliff, I tell you, that was just, I mean, I could not in any way interrupt because I was less magnetized by that story as you retold the story of Ken Davis. We have had the privilege of hearing myself in a meeting. And I think I'm sitting here also thinking that it's as if, I know you haven't, but it's as if you're reading my book. I talk about that very same idea of leaders becoming the know, like, and trust factor. You know, do I get a chance to let you to know me and me to know you and to like and trust you? And I think what you describe is that leader going the extra step. You know, I read a recent research where our statistics, 79% of people who've left the job have said they left. And the number one reason they gave is because of a lack of acknowledgement. They said, if we were only acknowledged, we would have given 91% of ourselves to make that leader successful. And that's why I say, you know, my book is entitled The Immo-Intelligent Leader, Succeed Where Others Failed. That teacher as a leader succeeded where others would have failed with a Ken Davis. Well, you mentioned about the fact that he was a keynote speaker at your event. Tell us a little bit more about that event you described, because I know you have one that's coming up again this year, right?
Absolutely. It's coming up in Franklin, Tennessee, September 13th through the 15th, 2019. And Free the Dream Conference is for people who have struggled for too long to make changes in their life. People who have dreams of different results. If you want different results financially, if you want different results when it comes to your physical fitness and health, if you want a different result in the way that you relate to your wife or your spouse, if you want a different result in the way that your relationship with your kids, and by the way, I can speak all of these with boldness and confidence because I have failed miserably in the past in all of those areas. And we go back to failure. I'm happy to confess to you, I have been a massive failure in practically every area of my life at some point. But I've fallen, I've learned from my mistakes, and man, I want to teach people what you can change in an instant and how to do it. And for me, I developed this thing called the Free the Dream Message. And by the way, I'll just be transparent and authentic and tell you that most of what you'll hear from me personally at Free the Dream, I will be doing a minimum of seven different sessions at the Free the Dream Conference. I will speak Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. I'll do a bonus session on and then, of course, in the morning on Sunday. I have 14 other speakers who are coming as well. for this single stage event. But here's what I will tell you. Everything that I'm going to teach you, I've learned from investing more than 10,000 hours in 2.5 years listening to 3 audio programs from Tony Robbins. Because Tony Robbins, in 1 weekend, I went to an Unleash the Power Within event, and it transformed my life in a weekend. I'm not saying that I lost 100 pounds in a weekend.
Right.
But in a weekend, I learned the techniques, tools, and strategies to radically change my behavior in any and every single area of my life. Not only have I lost over 100 pounds and put on 26 pounds of muscle, not only have I become debt-free and remained debt-free, not only have I went through all the failures and mistakes of trying to figure out how to do a business and generated it into a $500,000-a-year business and then completely give all of that up so I can pursue my mentoring and life coaching and motivational speaking full time. Not only have I done that, I mean, there's so many. I was a massive failure as a father with one of my children. Me and my oldest daughter fought constantly until one day I changed one belief. And now my daughter and I are like best friends. She's 19 years old and she's amazing. And wow, one belief changed everything in an instant. And so basically I'm like, okay, I have applied everything that I learned from Unleash the Power Within, everything I learned from Tony Robbins, everything I've learned from Jim Rohn, everything from Napoleon Hill, everything from Earl Nightingale, from Dan Miller, from Michael Hyatt, from all of the people who have spoken into my life. I've been aggressively applying all of that to my life. And I've taken the best of the best of the things that have finally said – people say, Cliff, how do you work out 6 days a week every week for the rest of your life and not fail to do it? How do you give up sugar 1.5 years ago and never eat Kit Kat candy bars? How do you never eat cookies? How do you never eat Snicker bars? How do you do this? How do you change forever? How? And I'm like, well, do you have a weekend? And I would teach you. And come to Free the Dream Conference. And that's exactly what I do at freethedreamconference.com. This is an annual event. This is our second annual event. You have to come and it will transform your life and your leadership in a single weekend.
And what's the date again on that, Cliff? September?
It's September 13th through the 15th in Franklin, Tennessee. And here's what I know, Kingsley. I used to be the podcast answer man, taught more than 40,000 people around the world how to launch their podcast. And here's the thing. Somebody is listening to our voice right now in the year 2025. Okay? Mm. We're recording this 2019. Yeah. So for those of you who are listening to this in 2025, go to freethedreamconference.com, find out when the next event is, and visit us in one of our stadium events, because that's where it will be held in 2025. And here, my second annual, we're in a nice little quaint venue called the Liberty Hall in the Factory in Franklin, Tennessee. And I expect somewhere around 300 people to be here for my second annual event. So if you're coming to the second annual event, it's September 13th through the 15th, 2019, freethedreamconference.com. But if you're hearing me in 2025, go to freethedreamconference.com. Learn what the next date is, the closest location to you. And who knows, maybe you'll be in a stadium event in Melbourne, Australia, or maybe it's in London. Maybe it's – I don't know where. But this is the dream that I have, Kingsley. I want to transform people's lives. That's not correct. That's not accurate. I want to share the message that God has put me on this planet to share in a unique way that will resonate with people so that they themselves will transform their own lives by simply understanding just how every single belief they have has consequences, and the fact that they're living most of their life unaware that 80% of the beliefs that they have that are causing them to do the things they don't want to do or avoid doing the things that they desperately want to do or need to do, the beliefs that are driving most of that, 80% of them, they're not even aware of what beliefs are driving them to do those things. They're unconscious of more than 80% of the beliefs they have.
You know, I think, Cliff, you know, you have downloaded and shared, I think, that the, you know, I just find it's almost like a little taste. You go to the mall sometimes and they hand these little piece of chicken and, you know, bourbon chicken and would say, hey, come over and get some more. And you have just kind of whet our appetite. I can imagine what that meal is going to be like if what you've given us is just basically a taste of it. And you actually, you know, this episode alone, I believe, will be one that will be helpful, even if a person listen and re-listen and to this episode, I think they could find some great valuable tips and ideas that would really radically lead to transformation. So I think that was really well done. So I really want to encourage my listeners to actually make this, you know, on the calendar, because I think they're going to leave there a changed person. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that's going to happen.
Yeah, come expecting your life to change in a single weekend. I'm not saying the results will be instantaneous, right, but the change in behavior will. That is something that I will tell you. The things that you've been putting off, the things that have been challenging, the things that are difficult, it will be – if it's been difficult – by the way, I'm not saying – if you don't come to the gym or to Free the Gym and you want to change your physical fitness and health, then that's no big deal. You choose what dream you want to chase after. But let's just say you've always wanted to have a very healthy and physically fit physique, but you're 60 pounds overweight and it's always been a struggle for you to go to the gym. If that's why you come to Free the Dream, here's what I will tell you. When you leave Free the Dream, it will be almost impossible for you to ever skip going to the gym. If you want to quit smoking, it will be almost impossible for you to continue to smoke. If you want to change your financial results, it will be impossible for you to spend another dime that you haven't yet earned. Whatever your dream is, Free the Dream will change the behavior in an instant. And all you have to do is it pains me to know how simple this really is. It really is. And it just takes a lot of time to help you understand the five or right. six different elements. And I can do it in 7 talks. Come to Free the Dream Conference. And by the way, you think this is a morsel. I know some of you will sign up for freethedreamconference.com and come to Franklin, Tennessee, or wherever it is in 2025 in whatever stadium we're at. But here's what I will tell you, Kingsley. Go ahead and buy your ticket now. But don't wait until you get to Free the Dream. Come over to mindsetanswerman.com/free. I will give you the opening keynote address to the very first ever Free the Dream Conference, Free the Dream 2018. The title of the episode is All Beliefs Have Consequences. You remember how I just told you that 80% of the beliefs that you have, you're unaware of?
Yes.
In this one talk, if you go to mindsetanswerman.com/free, it says, give me 60 minutes and I will help you change your life. All right? I will tell you how to change your life forever. Bold statement. There's a 90-second video clip that if it doesn't capture your attention, just go away. Not a big deal. Go to mindsetanswerman.com/free. Watch the 90-second clip and then put your email address at the bottom of the page and you'll get instant access to the opening keynote address from Free the Dream 2018. And you think this gave you some insights? That talk is one of the most powerful talks I've ever given in my life. And it's just one of 7 talks I give at Free the Dream.
Wow, Cliff. I mean, this is right. It's radical. It's revolutionary. It's really... it causes, you know, even me sitting here listening to you, I mean, I'm just like, you know, just soaking it up and drinking it up and taking it in. So I really, and our time here is just really watching all of that. But Cliff, I want to say thank you so very much for taking the time to really share with us, you know, the valuable insights into how we can actually become better leaders. We can lead our home, our family, our workplace, wherever we find ourselves leading. I think you have touched on some really helpful, insightful things that are, I think, it's transforming. And I think if we listen to that, and I want to suggest going back and listen, but also the links will be provided so that you can go and find out what Cliff has described about the freethedream.com, but also at Mindset Answer Man.
Free the Dream Conference.
Sorry, thank you.
freethedreamconference.com.
freethedreamconference.com and mindsetanswerman.com/free, because those are things you're going to be able to actually continue to feed yourself and be prepared when you go to the event in September. So Cliff, any last word, any last thing you wanted to share before we wrap things up here?
Yes, I encourage every single person to become very intentional about what they choose to believe, because what you believe will determine what you achieve.
Boom. That is awesome. Cliff, on behalf of the Kingsley Grant Show and my leadership audience. Thank you so very much for sharing with us and taking the time to give us such great insights and powerful stories. And just, you grabbed me. I can imagine my audience. So thank you so very much for taking the time to do that, sir.
It has been my very sincere honor. And Kingsley, I thank you from the depths of my heart for this opportunity to share this message with your community today.
Awesome.
And there you have it, my friend. Didn't I tell you? I believe that you truly want to go back and re-listen to this episode. When Cliff got into the belief system, and there's a portion of that that truly I believe that is needed to slow it down and re-listen and see what it is that you can really hone in on and then adapt to your own leadership world, right? And see what happens. As I said before, it should and will rock your world. So, my friend, I want to say thank you for hanging in there with us. It was a much needed episode, and I know I'm glad it took this time for us to really get everything out, and I appreciate your patience. And I just cannot tell you how grateful I am. So, my friend, remember this, that you are one skill away from your best hope, becoming the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. So let's adapt some things that Cliff taught us today to become that kind of leader. And with that said, my friend, let's tuck this episode back into a safe place inside the vault. So here we go. And there we go. Now that it's there, I can safely exit the command center of the Immortelligent Leadership Institute. And with that said, my friend, peace out, God bless, and I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.